I invite you to turn, if you would, please, to the book of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. Now, the message today is a topical message. I have a great number of verses, and I'm only going to ask you to turn to a few of these. John, chapter 12 will be one, and that verse will be about midway through, so you can somewhat relax a little bit as far as turning. But John, chapter 12, I have a topical message today, and that which God laid upon my heart, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Not so long ago, we learned of the demise of the Al-Qaeda leader, Osama bin Laden. And he apparently led the numerous fanatical extremists in their quests. Osama was a leader, and they were his followers. Years ago, Jim Jones took hundreds of people to Jonestown, Guyana, to form a commune. In allegiance to him, over 900 temple followers drank poisoned Kool-Aid and killed themselves. Jones was the leader, and the people of his flock were the followers. Truth is, in every facet of society, we have leaders and followers. Why, even within Christianity, we have the same structure. We have a leader, and we are and have the followers. The leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. His followers are those who have bowed their knee to Him, that is, those of us who are truly born again. And, of course, as is true in this life, not all leaders are good leaders and not all followers are good followers. Therefore, when it comes to the Lord and His subjects, therefore, when it comes to Christianity, then I must ask you, what kind of follower are you? Now, we know that our leader is a good leader. There's nothing wrong with him. So any fault is going to be with those who follow. Now I submit unto you that the Bible is not silent when it comes to the responsibility of believers to follow Jesus Christ. We know that He is our Lord and we are His subjects. We know He is our Master and we are His servants. We know He is the Commander-in-Chief and we are the rank and file of soldiers. Jesus is the leader and we are His followers. And we know this is true and we even sing about it. There is a hymn in our hymnal entitled Footsteps of Jesus, and the first verse says, "Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow Me, and we see where Thy footprints following lead us to Thee." And then there's the chorus in the second verse, "Though they lead over the cold, dark mountain, seeking a sheep, or along by Siloam's fountain, helping the weak." The idea, and here's as it's expressed in the chorus, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. It is my objective to remind you of our position before Him and to provoke you to make a personal assessment of how well you're following Jesus. And so I want to speak to you today a message which I've entitled, Follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house. And we know that there are several that are not able to be with us today due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that You would bless each one there. We pray for the sick, that You would heal them and raise them up. Those who are traveling, that You would protect them. And Lord, we've come together today to honor You, to worship You in spirit and in truth, and we ask that You would bless Your word as it goes forth. We ask that You would direct our attention to Your word and teach us, and we ask that if there's anyone here today that is lost, that You would show them their need of Jesus Christ, that they need to bow their knee to You, and that they need to surrender, and they need to become Your followers. And Father, we ask that You would save the lost today. And for those of us who are saved, may we look into our hearts. May we examine our lives and see how well we're doing in this issue of following after You. Let us be as You would have us to be. Father, forgive us for our sins and draw us to You. We commit these things to You, and we honor You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So in our topical expression today, we want to think about the matter of following Jesus. And so the title is Follow Jesus. And what I would like to do is give you an overview of the term follow as is in our text that we find in the Scripture. And what I've done is I've gone through the English translation and took the word follow and made an examination of it where these words were translated into the English as follow. So I want to give you an overview of this term. And there, of course, if you're following along on the outline, we'll talk about the quality of it and things of that nature. The first usage of this word follow in the New Testament Scripture comes in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to the word. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You've heard that before. You've read that before. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this translation that we have in English, follow, in that text in Matthew 4, it only occurs right here because this word actually is made up of two Greek words that are connected together. The first of those Greek words means to come, or to come now. The second means to come after, or behind, or at one's back. And so you put those two words together, come at one's back, Jesus is saying, come behind me. And so certainly the translation is a very accurate translation, Matthew 4:19, follow me. And what he's saying is, as I go, you follow my back. That's the idea. Now we understand what the word follow means in the English, but the very first place this word is translated in the King James Bible, Matthew 4, verse 19. Now then, throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts, there's a term that's used within the Greek, and I'll not give you the word because it's not going to benefit you too much, but the Greek word that is used throughout the Gospels and Acts for this word follow means to follow. It means to follow as a disciple. It is the idea to imitate. And I'll give you some examples of these verses. Of course, it's going to be in the English that I give it to you. But when you think about this, and we understand the word follow, the word includes a physical response. It is actually following another individual. But it also means, and it implies, a mental acceptance of teaching and leadership. So if Jesus speaks to them and says, follow me, then not only is it that he wants them to get up and actually physically follow after him, but that also the idea of, believe who I am. Believe what I am teaching you. Accept what I'm giving you. And we know what that is. And so these people that follow Jim Jones down to Guyana, well, they believed what he was teaching, right? They accepted that. So the word follow indicates a physical response. It indicates a mental acceptance. But it also implies a spiritual pursuit. So especially since we're dealing with spiritual things, we're looking into the Scripture. If Jesus speaks to you and speaks to me and says, follow me, not only does he want us to follow him in a physical sense, but as we're going to accept it in a mental acceptance, we're going to believe those things are true, but it's going to be a spiritual response. And so we want to follow after him. And by the way, I also want to mention to you that this word follow that I'm making reference toward in this one particular Greek form, 17 times is in the command form in the New Testament, used as a command. So it's not like he says, follow me, and then you can make a choice whether or not you've been commanded to follow. 17 times it's used in the command sense. Some examples, John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Did Philip have a choice? It was a command. He needed to follow Jesus Christ. Now, he could have disobeyed that command. He didn't. But it was a command to him to follow. Not only did he get up and follow him physically, he accepted what he taught and believed him to be a good teacher and a prophet and so forth, and he understood him to be the Messiah, and so then it was a spiritual acceptance. John 21, verse 19, this spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he said unto him, he's speaking unto Peter, follow me. Acts 12:8, remember when Peter was in prison? Angel came, and it says, the Scripture says, the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee, and follow me. What do you think Peter did? Put on his shoes, got up, and followed the angel, went out of that prison until he got outside the gates. Now, that's a very common term throughout the New Testament, and the word follow. But when it gets to the epistles of Paul, Paul uses a different term. In fact, he uses two terms that's translated in our Bible as the word follow. The first term means to put in rapid motion. It is to pursue. It is to pursue the direction of. You understand that if we say the word follow, you get the idea of pursuit, don't you? So we see on television, you know, police cars following after, pursuing after the criminal. Well, that's the idea behind this word that Paul uses in his epistles. Some examples, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil unto evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Pursue it. Follow in the direction of. That's the idea. 1 Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." It's a pursuit. Follow after that. Now, Paul also uses another Greek word, which in the Greek word, you can see the word mimic. And he only uses this word three times in his epistles, but the word means to imitate. It is to follow as an example or strive to resemble. And so we have mimeograph machines, right? Right out of that Greek word, mimeograph. And it makes a copy of it. And so that's what that word that Paul uses. I'm going to give you one example here because I'm going to use the other two later. Hebrews chapter 13, 7, he says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow," considering the end of their conversation. Make it an imitation. Follow after that. Resemble that. And so we find in the New Testament scriptures a host of times where people were told to follow. We have a command to follow. They need to follow. But we also find in New Testament scriptures where the word or the response of that, if I ask you to follow me and you do that, what have you done? You have followed me. It's in the past tense. And so if they've been called to follow and they get up and do it, Philip was called to follow, he went. Many of the disciples, they were all called. They went. They followed. So that word is used 59 times, and it comes from the same Greek word that's used throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. An example is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And what you find from this is that people did follow. They followed him. And that word is also used in six other ways that is translated to accompany, the idea to accompany with. It's the idea to imitate, to obey. And twice where Paul uses that word that means pursuit, it's translated as followed. Just gleaning through those definitions, I hope you've been able to pick a few things about the quality and characteristic of what it is to follow. Because I'll tell you today, if you're here outside of Jesus Christ, you're not following him. If you're not a believer, if you're not saved, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then it boils down to what kind of follower are you? Are you a good follower, a mediocre follower, or a very poor follower? But if you're saved today, you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a follower. So if you need to make that assessment in your heart. Am I a follower? And if I am a follower, how am I following? Am I doing a good job at that? So with those words and just an overview of the words within the New Testament scripture, I want to give you some characteristics of following. John 12, where I ask you to turn, will be one of these, and it'll be there in just a few moments. But these are the verses where we have the word follow used, and you can learn from it. Let me give you some characteristics. First of all, it is the actual physical trailing of another. You know what that is, don't you? Luke 22, verse 10. See if this isn't expressed in the text. This is the time when we're making preparation for the Passover, and he said unto them, "Behold, when you're entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher. Follow him into the house where he entereth in." So what does that word follow mean? Well, part of it means the actual physical trailing of another. You remember those old vaudeville routines? The comedy sketches where the guy goes into the restaurant and he wants to be seated at a table and the waitress says, "Follow me," or "Walk this way." And so you have that guy, being a comedian, you know, walking just like the waitress does, because he's saying, "Walk this way." And so they do that, you know. We find that comedic, but it's a physical pursuit. And so that's a meaning of the word, isn't it? Do you follow Jesus Christ? Secondly, the characteristic is found in Matthew 4:19, of which we've already expressed. It's a change of purpose which ensues. In Matthew 4:19, he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What were they up to that point? They were fishers of fish. Now he says, "Follow me." What's he going to do? He's going to change their purpose. Do you think a call to Jesus Christ and he said unto you, follow me, is that going to change your purpose? It ought to. Before you were lost, you were undone, you were dead in trespasses and sins. But when you really come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, you know what? There's a new perspective on life. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a follower of Jesus. So it's a physical trailing of another. It's a change of purpose, which is going to ensue. Thirdly, you'll find it's a reordering of priorities. Listen to Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 and verse 22. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. What is it? The guy had wrong priorities. And Jesus said, follow me. And in order to follow me, you have to reorder your priorities. And so in your self-assessment today, you have to ask yourself, what are my priorities in my life? And if I'm going to actually and properly follow Jesus Christ, maybe I need to reorder some of those priorities. See, that's the part of the word. That's the quality and characteristic of the word follow. It's also a call to service. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him, a call to service. Matthew, being a tax collector, got up, left his job, and followed Jesus Christ, a call to service. It's also an expression of allegiance. In Matthew chapter 19, as he talked to the rich young ruler, in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus wanted him to put aside his own personal allegiance and follow after Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler was self-righteous. He was depending upon his own works. Jesus said, you can't have that kind of allegiance. You need to only follow after me. So lay all those things aside and follow me. Another characteristic of following is that it indicates obedience and complicit yielding to leadership if we're going to follow. You know, sometimes in the workplace, your supervisor tells you what to do and they say, I want you to follow these instructions. What should you do? You should be obedient. You should be complicit. You should yield. Not all the time do we do that, do we? When Jesus says, follow me, doesn't that indicate yielding to his leadership? Listen to John 10. And notice the analogy that Jesus gives is a shepherd to sheep. John 10 verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. What do sheep do? Sheep obey the master. Sheep obey the shepherd. They yield. Verse 27 says, and Jesus speaking says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what do? They follow me. My friend, if you're saved, you're understood as spiritually as being a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he is said to follow after him. Jesus said, my sheep, they do hear my voice, and they follow me. So if you say, well, I'm a sheep, but I don't follow, then you're not a sheep. I hate to burst your bubble. But if you do not follow, you're not a sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. And so it's necessary. Hey, am I a follower? And then how am I following if I am a follower? So I've given you these characteristics. Let me share another one with you. And it's right there in John chapter 12. Now you can look down, look at your Bible, and we're going to read verse 26. And this, the idea of following and the characteristic which is borne out in this passage is that it's used in conjunction with a slave or a servant attitude. John 12, 26. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see that word follow? Now, what's being spoken of in the text? He says, if a man's going to serve me, let him follow me. The word serve is used twice in the passage. It talks about a man who's going to serve. If any man is going to serve me, that word serve comes from the word, well, we understand it as the word deacon. The root word of that means to wait. It is to wait upon. It is to serve, to attend. And so Jesus said, if you're going to serve me, wait upon me, if you're going to attend to my needs, as it were, if any man serve me, twice that's used in the passage, and he calls him my servant. That is the word for deacon itself. It's one who renders a service, a servant. So if you were wealthy enough in our society and you wanted to hire somebody to come into your home and to be your servant, such as they did a couple hundred years ago in this country, then you can have servants. You could even have slaves. And the idea is still generally the same. It's the matter that here's the one in control, the authority, the leader, and here is the follower. And what did Jesus say in 26? If you're going to serve me, let him follow me. Now, what does that imply? If you aren't following, then you're not serving. Isn't that the implication? If a man serve me, let him follow me. And so this idea of following is used in conjunction with being a servant or even a slave, and the kind of attitude of which that encompasses. And then let me share three more other characteristics I want to give to you in the idea of following. You know, it's used as an imitation. We use that. I told you about that word that Paul used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Listen to verse 7 and verse 9. The idea of following is to imitate. He says, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." We've lived right. We've done right. Follow us. Imitate us. Behave in a like fashion. That's the idea. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So Paul just simply saying, you've watched our lives. You've seen how we've lived in your midst. Mimic that. Imitate that. Follow that. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the idea of follow incorporates the quality or characteristic, a quality or a characteristic into your life. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, follow after charity. The word charity means love. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And other verses that we've seen and we've already mentioned were quality characteristics you follow after, pursue after. And so it incorporates that into your life. And so if I should become an extremist and say, follow after me, I'd expect you to adopt the philosophy, get into the situation, and even sacrifice your life for the cause. That's incorporate, follow me. Now, the last thing is this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, I submit unto you that the idea of follow and the characteristic of which we're being taught from the passage is that it's a positive response to an example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And Peter even uses the word that was commonly used throughout the Gospels and Acts. 2:21, he says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." How should I, as a professing Christian, live? I should follow in the steps of Jesus, especially in the area of suffering. As he was persecuted and he suffered, I should follow in his steps, respond as he responded. Now, I've given you some quality characteristics of follow by just looking at the usage of the term and the context of it. Now I would like for you to turn to Matthew 16. There were three verses I wanted you to look at. One was John 12, Matthew 16. As we consider the idea of following Jesus, what the Bible has to say about following. I just want to mention a word on the quality of following. Just listen to what the Scripture says. Look at it, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What kind of following should a disciple have? Jesus said in the text that a man is to come after him. Follow after, to be behind, to come, to go or pass after him. And he says if a man's going to do that, what's he say in the text? Let him deny himself. The word means to deny, to denounce, or renounce, and disown. If a man's going to follow after Jesus, he has to deny or renounce himself, take up his cross, you know that's an instrument of death, I mean, people wear it around their neck. They have it all over the place. And it's a nice piece of jewelry and so forth. But you know what? The cross is an instrument of death. And when he says, take up your cross, he's not talking about you can do whatever you wish. You're to die on that cross. That's the idea. You deny yourself, and then you die, take up your cross, and follow me. And that's a command. Follow me. You know, three things emerge from the quality of following Jesus Christ. What are they? Very simply, denial, death, and discipleship. And if I'm going to be a proper follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I need to die, and I need to deny, and I need to follow after him. I need to be a disciple. Matthew 10, go back to the other text. In similar vein, this is just the quality of following. How should I follow as a Christian? Denial, death, and discipleship is what we've seen in chapter 16. In Matthew 10, verse 38, one verse. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Very simply, and it's in the same vein as the previous passage, but do you see there? First death, then discipleship. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And so if we're going to say, yes, we're followers of Jesus Christ, what must be incorporated in our life? Denial, death, and discipleship. If we're going to properly follow our Lord. Now, there are some suggested ways in which you can follow. There are all sorts of ways, but you know, I've just kind of narrowed it down to four ways. If you're going to follow, you can behave in the exact fashion. There's a thing that Chad saw on television, Chad and Ryan both saw on television, called ghosting. And what it is you get up right behind an individual. I mean, you're only just a couple inches from behind him, and you follow their walking motion. You follow right along, and it really looks goofy. Ask him to do it for you this afternoon. But Chad can ghost you. And then if you're ghosting somebody, you know what? You're behaving in the exact fashion. And you know, if you're going to follow after Jesus, one of the ways in which you can follow after Jesus is to behave in the exact fashion. Or you can follow in a very similar fashion. You know, to take a step down. Or you could follow in a similar fashion. Or you might even follow in a vague fashion. It might not even look like you're following. You watch on TV where people are following people. We saw a show the other day and a car was right behind the other car. And I thought, boy, that's not very sneaky, is it? I mean, you're telling somebody, all you got to do is look in the mirror, they're right there. And then sometimes, you know, people are very good at following and you don't even know they're there. So there are different ways to follow, right? And you know, the Bible's filled with people who have followed well. Even some of the examples I'm going to give to you are people that followed well on some occasions and didn't follow so well on other occasions. And we're very familiar with everybody that does well. And of course, we're not a perfect people. So what I've chosen to do, not to be negative, but I just want to give you a few examples of some who did not follow well. Because what you can do is look at this and say, well, they didn't follow very well, but I'm doing the same thing, so I must not be following very well. And so on this gamut, spectrum of how we may follow, how are we doing is following Jesus Christ? Some people did not follow so well. You remember Peter after Jesus was arrested in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, it says that Peter followed him from far off. He was following, but he was way out of eyeshot. I mean, he was just keeping enough distance because he didn't want to be connected with Jesus Christ as he was being led away. Followed him afar off unto the priest's palace. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. That's what the scripture says in John 7:50. In John chapter 19, verse 38, Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah, he came and got the body of Jesus, but it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. For much of his early Christian life, he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. I don't think he was following so well. He did better at the end. He got the body of Jesus. But he failed, didn't he, in some aspects? The scripture records those who feared the Lord. John 7:13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, it says, on the same day at evening, the 11 disciples were there, being on the first day of the week. The doors were shut. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Then came Jesus and stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. They were afraid. That's not following very well. Fear took over them. Over in John chapter 9, we'll not look at it, but the blind man's parents, they said, you know what, you ask him, because they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid what would happen. Some were afraid to be expelled from the synagogue worship because they were afraid of the Jews. And so they did not confess him. One who did not follow very well, that started out well, but he didn't finish well, was Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he's departed unto Thessalonica. Wasn't following too well. So I ask you in conclusion, I know I've thrown a lot of verses at you. I've given you from all sorts of directions. But I think if you were listening, you can glean enough from the definitions. You can glean enough from the applications to get an idea of what it is to follow, what it means to follow, and how that applies to you and to me. So in conclusion, I ask you, based upon the biblical description, first of all, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That is, are you saved? Are you his disciple? And I'm telling you, you've got to be very careful, because you say, yes, I'm his disciple, but there's absolutely no indication that you ever follow. How can you make that claim? You're just going to have to search your heart and see whether or not you're really a follower. But are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Has there been a time you were convicted of your sin, drawn to Jesus, and God drew you to himself, you were saved, and you repented and believed on the Lord, you have eternal life, and you know that you're saved? Are you sure of it? If not, we point you to Jesus. He alone can save you. He alone can give you eternal life. Because I guarantee you, if you're not saved, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. And you're dead, and you need a Savior, you need life. And that life only comes through Jesus Christ. So if you're lost, you need the Lord. Now, if you're saved, you say, yes, I'm a follower. I indicate that I follow. How would you assess your attributes to following? How good of a follower are you? Let me share it in application and I'll be finished. I've had a grand occasion on several times throughout this city to have people follow me through Memphis. You ever lead anybody through Memphis? Ever take them from point A to point B and say, follow me? And you know what? I've had people and I say, you know what? Well, we're talking Memphis, busy time. Stay close. You got stoplights all the time. You have traffic all the time. You have all kinds of things that can interrupt. Stay close. And whenever I have somebody follow me, I say, you know what? I don't want them riding in my trunk. But I want them to stay close. I don't want a car length between us, because in the city of Memphis, somebody will cut in here. And then you have the separation. Now, there are some people who follow very well. And I've led them from point A to point B in Memphis, and they'd be right there. I can see them the whole time. Nobody can cut in. We don't have to worry about stoplights. If they change, they're close enough. They don't have to stop. You don't have to pull over and wait for them to catch up when the light changes. You know what can happen in Memphis? So I've had people that follow close. Other people I've had that were nominal followers. I say, follow me, and they'll stay back about 100 yards. And I go, man, that's just not close enough in Memphis. And I had some folk follow me not too long ago, and about 3 or 4 cars pulled right in front of them in between us. I thought, if we get separated, we've got a problem here. And so I started to pull over into the center lane so I could let the cars pass so I could pull back out. Well, they thought they did see me. They were pulling in the center lane too. Well, then I pulled back and they pulled back. And we were all over the place. But you don't follow close enough, you're not going to stay with it, are you? You're going to get lost. And so some will follow close and some will be kind of nominal. And then I'll have some that, you know, I've led through this city that stayed afar off. I keep pushing my brakes. Speed limit's 45. I'm going 30. Why? Because they're a quarter of a mile behind me. They're following me. I've got to try to hit the lights, and I have to try to make sure that nobody gets in between us. I have to make sure they keep an eye on me, because we're going to a place, if they lose me, they're lost. And they're back a quarter of a mile. You know what? That's not very good following, is it? What kind of follower are you? Jesus said, follow me. Are you on his bumper? Are you ghosting the Lord? I shouldn't say that, I guess. Are you back 4 or 5 car lengths? 100 yards? Are you back 1/4 mile? Are you making him hit the brake all the time and wondering whether or not you're going to be able to keep an eye on him? You're going to have to make that assessment. You're going to have to search your heart. What kind of follower are you? Is there room for improvement? Is God leading you to be a better follower? That's something you have to deal with before God. I can't make you do. I can't even make you follow me in a car. Because if you choose to lay back 1/4 mile, there's not much I can do about it. Only thing I can do is brake and hope that you can see me. Certainly when it comes to spiritual things, I cannot make you do. All I ask you to do is search your heart. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what kind of follower are you? Are you on his bumper? Or so far back you can't even tell you're there? You lost sight of him. And you can take the definitions and things we glean from that, and you can take the characteristics that when we look through the scriptures and glean from that and make application, and you can make an assessment. And you can search your heart. And you can know whether or not you're a good follower. May I encourage you to follow Jesus. I close with giving you the words of this song. I'm not going to sing it, of course. But there's a song in another hymn book. We sang it up north all the time. It's not in our hymn book, but it's called Follow On. Listen to some of the words. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. The chorus says, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. May that be our heartbeat. May that be our desire. If we claim to know Jesus Christ, to be a good follower, I encourage you, follow Jesus. If you're lost, would you repent and believe on the Lord today and be saved and become a follower and then follow well? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. And I pray that God's spoken to your heart and is touching your spirit, and that you'll do as God would have you to do. Father in heaven, we ask that you bless this invitation time, that you would just gently speak to every one of your people. Help us to assess our lives and to recognize how well we're following or how poorly we're following. God, may we be the kind of follower you'd have us to be. And we do pray for the lost here today, that you would convict them of their sin, show them that without you they are going to face an eternity in hell and be under your wrath and your judgment forever. Oh God, we pray that you would show mercy and grace, that they might be saved, that they would be drawn to you, and that, God, they would become your follower today. And then grant them every grace they need to be good followers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?